God, we thank you that you are good. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. And thank you, God, that we can open up this book and read. And when we do that, you've said that you speak to us through your word, by your spirit. So, God, I pray that you would do that this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so as we're going through Colossians, flip over there. Colossians chapter 3. I want to read what we've looked at over the past couple of weeks, because it goes into what we're going to look at today. So as we've been reading through this, the Apostle Paul has been telling us how Christians are supposed to treat each other. If you're God's child, here's how you're supposed to treat one another. This is what it's supposed to look like. The way God's grace comes out of you should look like this. And we've read, okay, read verse 12. Put on then. So you put this on you as if it were clothing, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, having compassion with people, kindness, being kind, humility, not being proud, not wanting attention, not wanting me to be the center, meekness, patience, that's forbearing. And then he goes into bearing with one another. So bearing with the unbearable. All of this is supposed to define who we are and how we treat other people, which is all well and good. But then, if you think about it, there are times when that just kind of goes out the window, when it seems completely impossible to treat people, some people, not everybody, like this. It's those times when you're around people who do stuff to you, who've bothered you, and that might be putting it mildly, because sometimes it's more than just bothering us. People treat us badly. They offend us. They hurt us. They do stuff that takes away from us. It takes away happiness. You're looking forward to that thing and that time, and then something happens and they ruin it. It's you know, the family vacation that you've been looking forward to the whole year, and then there's the kid, you know, crying in the back seat and fighting and ruins the whole trip. You're like, I wanted that, and now you took that away from me. She wouldn't be upset with your kid, but that's we take stuff away from each other. I'm your friend, and I do something to you, and I take away that friendship, because now we can't be friends anymore, not after what I did, not after what I said about you to that other person. We hurt each other. I get angry with you, and I take away your sense of security and your sense of worth because I spout off and say things to you. We do stuff against each other, and so it's relatively easy to be patient and humble and kind and compassionate to people who, well, when they're being nice, when I'm good to you, and when I smile, and how are you doing, can I help you? But when people are not nice to us, when people are mean to us, people hurt us in slight ways, or you know, I'm just kind of in a bad mood, so I'm not really that happy with you today, or they do big stuff that stays with us, it just sticks with us, and for the rest of my life, I'll remember what you did or what you said. It's pretty impossible to be compassionate and kind to those people. And the text, then verse 13, ends in a way that helps us with our tendency to say, well, I'll be good to like 95% of the people 95% of the time. But there's always going to be that 5%. There's just a few people that I can't stand. I mean, if they're in Walmart, isn't it good enough that there's like those other ton of people in Walmart that I'll smile at and be nice to, but at that one person, I'm going to do everything I can. If they go down the baking aisle, I'm going to go down the canned foods aisle, even though I would never buy a canned food in my life. I'm going to avoid that person. It doesn't matter, because there's so many other people that I'm good to, right? Well, Paul talks about how to handle and what to do with those people that have hurt us. And so, unless you've never been hurt, if you've never been hurt and never will be hurt, there's fried chicken waiting. You can make an early exit. If not, this is for us. So look at what he says in verse 13. I love the fact that he starts it out with an if. If one has a complaint against another, if. So he says if, but we know that for us, it's not an if. It's not, do you have a complaint against somebody? Has somebody hurt you ever? No? Okay. No, it's not an if, it's a list, right? It's give me the list of the people who have hurt you, who you have a complaint against. Give me that list in descending order of how badly they have hurt you. And we could all make a list and we could talk about it. We could feel bad for each other because we've all been hurt. It's not an if. So that's kind of, I'm guessing that was kind of tongue in cheek. If one or anyone, this is a universal thing. We're all to do this, right? This is for everybody. If anyone has, so he's going to talk about having complaints, but he says he has. It goes to this idea of we hold on to. If you have it, you're. It's not they did this to you, but you have this complaint. We hold on to, and the terminology that I'm going to use, because I heard someone speak about this a long time ago and found it just immensely helpful as I've gone forward in the process of thinking about how people hurt me and then how I'm supposed to deal with that from a biblical standpoint. From the standpoint of a debt, he starts bringing this terminology in that we could correspond to people having debts with us, like owing us thing. So if anyone has, if you're holding on to, like you would hold on to, you know, the little stub of, I owe you this, you owe me this, I have a record of this, I'm holding on to a record of what you owe me. When you did that thing to me, when you said that thing, when you hurt me, when I'm holding on to it, if you have a complaint, if you're holding on to this thing that they did, if you're holding on to a complaint, and he doesn't say if anyone, what I'm going to say is for people who have had a misunderstanding or have had something happen to them that, you know, wasn't that big of a deal, and now time has gone by and you look back and say, that wasn't that big of a deal. No, he's saying if you have a complaint, if there's something legitimate, there was an offense, they actually did something they shouldn't have done, they took something from you. They something that you can't get back. Something that now it's over. They've hurt you, and it's an actual complaint because they did something legitimate. This isn't a text for those misunderstandings that we should just talk through and get over. This is for the times that I'm holding on to something that you actually did against me, and you were not. You shouldn't have done that, and I'm holding on to it because it's something that, well, I want it to be restored. It should be made right, but it's not going to be made right. If anyone is holding on to complaint against another, that's more debt terminology. When I give you $200, don't get any ideas, I'm not going to, but if I were, just, you know, hypothetically, a long stretch here, but I give you $200 and I write down, Ben owes me $200. I have a record of what he owes me and it's against him. It's in my favor. It's against him. And so, you know how when somebody does something against you and you tell other people about it, now we always spin it in our favor, but you know, there are times when it's kind of, you don't have to spin it at all. They did that against us and they shouldn't have, and there wasn't really a reason to do it. And so other people look at it and we say, well, I'm the wounded party. I'm the one that's owed here. I'm the one who this was taken from me. They took that from me. He walked away with my $200. See, he owes that to me. He said that thing to me and he shouldn't have said it. And he made me look bad in front of my family and he was mean to me. He it's against him. He's the one who owes me that. It's a debt that we carry around. It's a debt that we. But here's the thing: it's a debt that can't be paid because he's not going to say go to that person and have them pay you back. Like if Ben owed me $200, I could go to him and say, "Come on, $200. One of your kids, give me something. You know, you can make that debt right. Give me the well-behaved one. I'm kidding. All well-behaved. This is the kind of debt can't be made right. You can't turn back the clock. You can't undo what's been done. You can't erase that memory. You can't take hurt away. Like I could buy flowers for my wife today, but as nice as that is, it doesn't erase that I made her cry. I didn't, but just. Again, hypothetical that actually has been a reality on multiple occasions, so, you know, kind of confession, but not this time, luckily. Didn't erase the fact that I made her cry last night because I was mean and I said stuff I shouldn't have said. The flowers are nice, but they don't erase the tears, right? So you can't undo it. You're mean to me. You can't undo that. Even when you do good stuff in the future, it doesn't erase. That's good stuff you should have done anyway. It doesn't erase what you did in the past. So when someone is hurtful to you, the reason that you feel that even now is because, well, you can't undo that. Even if you're friends with them in the future, you can still remember that thing they did. And it's like, because it's a debt that they owe you. They took something away from you. They shouldn't have done that, and they can't undo it. So what do we do with that debt? How do you feel with people who owe you? Whether it's money or other stuff, people owe you and can't pay you. They owe you and they can't pay you. How do you feel? How do you feel every time you think about that person when they did that thing and they shouldn't have done it and I wish they wouldn't have, but they did. And so how do you feel with that person? So going the money route, I was out running yesterday and thinking about this idea of when people hurt us, it's like a debt, something they owe us because they took something away from us. They hurt us and they can't pay it back. And so I was thinking about this idea and it popped in my mind. There's an actual physical debt, the money debt that I carry around with me all the time. I did some work for a company in Omaha a while back, and they were a third party. They had a client and they needed some programming done, so they had me do the programming. They didn't manage their relationship with the people that, you know, they were having me program for. And so they ended up being out some money and they turned that into not paying me. And so I think it's $4,600. It's been probably 15 years or more. It's been a long time, like long enough I shouldn't know about how much money it was. I shouldn't even remember the name of the guy, I won't say it, but the name of the guy who owned the company, who has another company now, but not that company. I shouldn't know, remember all these details. It was 15 years ago. But you know what I do with that debt? I keep it in my, like the place where I do the invoices, my accounting software thing, I keep it there. And every time that I get paid from the person I'm working for now, I see that line there that this is an outstanding invoice. It hasn't been paid and the amount's right there. And I carry that around. And I know I should just delete it away, but I say that it's so that I remind myself not to do that again. But that's not why. It's because they owe me something. We carry our debts around with us. What people owe, we carry it around. We say, well, I would forgive that. You were mean to me. You ignored me, you gossiped about me, you yelled at me, you hurt me, you slandered me to my friends, you did this thing to me. I would forgive that, but I'm kind of waiting for you to do something, and it's never been enough. And even though we're kind of okay now, I mean, I'm not gonna like get mad at you on a Sunday morning, but I still remember that thing because you haven't made it up, because the debt can't be paid. And carrying that debt around, what does it do? It destroys us. When I remember what you've done to me, It eats away at me on the inside. It makes me feel bitterness. It makes me feel bad with you. I can't mention your name or think about you without feeling bad on the inside. Who are some people that you that if you think about their names, and you probably are right now because I'm asking the question, and your name comes into your mind, and you're like, I shouldn't feel that way in church on a Sunday morning. Why do you make me think of that person? You have some people, don't you? I do. And it destroys us, because not only does it destroy what we do on the inside, it destroys what we do on the outside. Instead of being merciful and compassionate and feeling good, we feel bitterness, and then we don't treat them with kindness. How do you treat that person, those people? How do you treat them? How do you treat your spouse after they've been mean to you? How do you treat your kids when they've just completely ruined that vacation? How do you treat people who have taken stuff from you? Don't you try to, I mean, we would never confess this, right? So I'll talk hypothetically, but we try to make them feel something, don't we? We try to make them kind of, not always, probably not you. Sometimes we do though, right? At the very least, we ignore them because I just can't be around them, can't talk to them, don't want to be. There's a million other people in the world that I could talk to. Why do I have to talk to them? Don't want to. And then in the back of our minds, don't we feel like, well, at least it kind of gives a little satisfaction. They're dead to me. And it's kind of a little bit of a payback without us actually doing anything wrong. Again, quotation marks, wrong. Maybe we talk to other friends about them. You know, their name comes up, and, oh, you know what they did, and they're a great person, and we just got to have to stick in the, yeah, but you know, not as good as you think they are. What have you done to pay people back for the bad stuff they've done to you? Now, I don't like that question either. The text today, our Lord shows us a different path, a different thing to do when people owe us, when people have done stuff to us that they shouldn't have done, when we're carrying around this, but they did that. How can I be kind to them? Well, look at what he says. Verse 13, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. Forgiving each other. Say, forgive. He's wipe the debt out. Say, okay, you owe me that, but now you don't owe me that. He doesn't say, ask for restitution. Make them do something to make it right. Make them, you know, pay you back. Just wipe the debt out. If you buy me enough flowers, then we'll be okay. No, it's just forgive. That's what he says to do. Forgiving each other. Again, it's kind of neat because in the top of verse 13, what does he say? Bearing with one another. Same thing here, forgiving each other. And he reminds us, this is mutual. It's not just that there's people who have offended me in my life and who have done things to me and have not been fair to me and have taken from me and then not given back. It's not just that. There's people who I do that to. I need forgiveness. There's people who walk around with little virtual pieces of paper in their pocket that I did this to them 20 years ago, and I said this to them 20 years, and I was rude to them. Sometimes stuff I don't even know that I did, but I did. There's people who are walking around with these little virtual debts against me. I need forgiveness. That's what he's reminding us of, and I need to give forgiveness. I need to do it. So what he's saying in this text is God's children always forgive other people because they've been forgiven. God's children always forgive other people. If you're God's child, he's saying this isn't an optional thing. You're to forgive. You're to wipe out the debt. You're to say, you don't owe me anything. That's what you're supposed to do. But isn't it true that even though we know that, we don't do it very well? We say we do, but we don't, because I know we don't, because when I said, are there people who I feel, and I hear their name, and I'm like, on the inside, there are. For me, I'm sure there are, for I could tell by your faces, there were for you. When I say that, what is stuff that we've done to people, you know, to get them back, for people we've given the silent treatment to, we're not friends with anymore. There are. We don't forgive as well as we would like to pretend we do on a Sunday morning. So there's three questions that this verse answers that will help us do what can seem to be impossible, and that is forgive people who we actually have legitimate complaints against because they've actually offended us. One is, who do I have to forgive? And this is a good question for us because we tend to forgive conditionally. We put conditions in our forgiveness. We have a system. Everybody has a system. What do you have to do in order for me to forgive you? You offended me. I'm carrying around this little virtual ticket that says what you did, and it's a debt that you have with me because you took something from me. You took happiness away from me. You made me feel bad. So you have to do something. You have to do something, you know, in the marriage. It's a very easy formula. It's roses equal forgiveness, right? That's. Am I the only one? No. We know that there's something that has to be done. There's something that has to be done to make the bad thing go away. We want the person to kind of pay for what they did, to give something back, to make that debt kind of go away. Even if it's, have you ever said this? I'll forgive them, but they haven't what? They haven't asked for forgiveness. What are we saying? They haven't come to me, humbled themselves, and publicly humiliated themselves before me and said, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Please, 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 please forgive me. They can't make it right, maybe, but at the very least, I can get my not pound of flesh, I can get my pound of pride out of them. I can humiliate them, and that'll make me feel just a little bit better. And I feel like they paid something on the debt. Okay, I forgive you. But you know, when that happens, and then you remember that person again, and still is there, right? It's not completely forgiven, because them eating a little bit of pride doesn't equal what they took away from you. It doesn't work. Look at what he says in this verse. Who do I have to forgive? When do I have to forgive? Under what conditions do I have to forgive? If one has a complaint against another, that's the condition. He's saying there is a condition. You don't have to forgive everybody. Only people who have offended you. Only people that have hurt you. Those are the only people you have to forgive, and you have to forgive all of them. Those are the people you have to forgive. If you have a complaint against someone, if you think about that person, go, eh. If they've hurt you, those are the people you have to forgive. Not everybody in the whole world, only people who have hurt you and everyone who has hurt you. So it's pretty universal. Everybody's included. If anyone has a complaint against another, so anyone has a complaint against anyone else, that's it. That's the condition. Everybody's included. Anyone who has hurt you or I, we have to forgive if we're God's children, because God's children always forgive. And that's who we're supposed to forgive. The second question is, what is forgiveness? And this is a good question. At least I found it interesting, because I don't think we really know how to forgive. Because I can say I forgive you and still feel really bad with you. So have I forgiven you? Well, probably not, because I still feel about the same as I did before I forgave you. Now maybe you feel a little bit better. Okay, I'm forgiven, so we're good. Yeah, we're good, except you're not happy with me. And now you kind of have, you know, a ticket to do something against me because, well, kind of owe me one, right? I forgive, but it's still there. What does it mean? What does it mean when I forgive you, but I still don't want, it's like, yeah, I forgave them, but I'm never going to invite them to my house again. I forgave them, but I'm going to avoid them when I'm in the store with them. When I see them across the way, I forgave them. Yeah, we're good. We're good, but don't want to go to the same church with them. We're good, but I don't like them anymore. That's not forgiven. That's not, because we remember what they've done. It comes back to our mind. We reverse it, like as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed. When he forgives, he forgive and forget it. I don't forget. I remember what you've done, because there's this debt that I'm carrying around. We don't know what it means to forgive. Forgiveness isn't saying we have to do something to pay for it. I hit you, you hit me, now we're even. Forgiveness is not being even. Even if, you know, I yell at you and then I say I'm sorry, so now we're even. Forgiveness is not being even, because you can't pay that debt back. I hit you, you hit me, we both go to jail because we're both guilty. One doesn't cancel out the other. Forgiveness is not ignoring the offense. Have you ever done something and you said, I'm sorry, and the person said, don't worry about it? What are they saying? Are they saying they've forgiven you? No, right? That's one of my pet peeves. It's like, don't worry about it is not forgiveness. It's minimizing what I did. Still bothers you, but you're saying, I'm just going to kind of force that out of my mind and tamp it down until the next time you do the same thing, and then my reaction is going to be bigger than it was, because now you've done it twice and I've tried to minimize it. And don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We're good. It's okay. The next time you do it, it's a bigger reaction, because, well, I'm not forgiving you. I'm carrying the debt around, but I'm crumpling it up in my pocket and putting it in a corner saying, it's not that big of a deal. You owe me $200, but okay, it's at least it's not $2,000. You could have been a lot worse. That's not forgiveness. What is forgiveness? He tells us what forgiveness is. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving one another, how? As, in the same way that the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. He says how to, in the same way that God forgave you. If you're a Christian, that this is where the gospel comes into this equation. He doesn't say, well, how did God forgive us? We've offended the king of the universe, and so the king of the universe says, don't worry about it. No, that's not what happened. We've offended the king of the universe, and so the king of the universe says, work it off. If you come to church and you stay awake for enough sermons at the end of your life, I'll tally all that up, and you help enough, blind people across the street and poor people to get their food, and you help enough people and you do enough good stuff, then No, that's not what he says. That's not how God forgives us. How did God forgive us? Think about Romans 5. While we were still his enemies, Christ died for us. Since then, we have been reconciled with God. We have peace with God through Christ. I know there's paraphrases of different parts of Romans 5. The whole thing is how he forgives us. He takes his enemies who have rebelled against him. He makes them his children, and he wipes their debt away. That's what we celebrate when we take the Lord's Supper. We're celebrating not that I get to goody, I get to work it off. It's been removed. The debt that I owed God because I've offended the King of the universe by disobeying him time and time again, and I still do, that debt has been removed, and it's been put on Jesus, and he took it to the cross, and I no longer have to pay that debt. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. That's what we sing that here, right? That's what it is. That's what the gospel is. That's how he forgave us. That's why it's able to say, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's taken our sins away. He remembers them no more. Beautiful verses like that. That's what forgiveness is. It's taking away the debt at great cost to himself, saying, you don't owe me anything. You have legitimately offended me, and now you owe me zero. It's me taking the little piece of paper out of my pocket and ripping it up and throwing it away. And now in my mind, Ben doesn't owe me $200. And I've said that enough today that every time I look at Ben, I'm going to have in the back of my mind, I think he owes me money, $200. It's going to be there, so you might as well just get it over with and pay me back, and we'll be good. Okay, that's what forgiveness is. It's ripping up the little piece of paper that says, this is what you owe me, throwing it away. That is how God forgave us. He put it on his son. He took that debt, and he put it on his son. That's what we're to do. We're to put the debts that people owe us in zero, cancel them out. Just put a big zero there and say, you don't owe me anything. Like if I were to go home today and in that accounting software go in and say, how much does that person owe me? Zero. That's hard to do, because then you're giving something up, right? It's like, but they owe me that. They ruined 15 years of my life. Our friendship was such a big deal, and now they did this and they did that, and now it's, how do I just erase that? Well, you have to say it. You have to say it, not necessarily to them. Forgiveness is not saying it to the person. You can say it to the person. That's not what makes forgiveness forgiveness. See, you do something to me, and if I'm going to cancel out that debt, I have to myself, I have to say it. I have to say it. I have to say what you did. I can't just say it was nothing. I have to say, you hurt me. You made me feel bad. You brought pain into my life. I don't have to say that to you. I have to say it to myself. I have to recognize what the debt is. Not a $2 debt, a $200 debt. I have to say what the debt is in my mind. And then I have to say, you don't owe me anything. And again, it sounds like I'm talking to a person, but this is a conversation that's best held with yourself. So you say, they did this, and they did this, and it hurt, and you feel the pain of that, and then you say, and you don't owe me anything. That's been canceled. And then when the thing comes back to your mind, and you see them again, you remember, it's like, and you say, wait a second, they don't owe me anything. There's a zero next to what they did. The debt has been canceled. Why? Because I put it in zero, and now I'm supposed to treat them as if nothing has happened. See, you can know that you've forgiven somebody if you're able to look at that person and feel good. Like walk across Walmart and go down an aisle you normally wouldn't go down just so that you can run into them and say hi and shake their hand or give them a hug or whatever you do when you see someone that you like. It's, you know you've forgiven someone when you can hear about something good that happened to them. Feel happy, like on the inside, like genuinely go, oh, and it kind of comes, just, you're like, ooh, that's awesome. I'm so happy for them. You know you've actually canceled out the debt when you can hear their name and not feel anything bad and not say anything bad. You know you've canceled the debt when you could think about the person and not immediately think about what they did. And if God is gracious, you know you've forgiven the person. When that happens, you think about the person, their name comes up in a conversation and you don't even remember, and you don't can't even remember. And then someone says, remember when they did that thing? You're like, oh yeah, I do remember that. But I didn't, because I forgave them. And God graciously, he wiped out even the memory of that. It was out of my mind. And if you hear all that and you say, last question, you might have others, but this is the last one I'm going to answer. Why? Why should I do that? You don't know what they've done to me. It wasn't just like a little slight or a little bit of gossip or something. They wiped out years of happiness in my life. They really messed me over. I could forgive a lot of people. I can't just put that debt that person owes me in zero. I can't do that. Why? It's not fair. It's not fair. I can't just wipe out what they did. I can't do that. Why do I have to forgive them? And the answer is in the verse. Read it again. It's, if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving one another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. We were to forgive because we're forgiven. God's children are to forgive every offense that is done against them because we are forgiven. We're to put it the account in zero because, he says, as Christ, because we've what we've received in Christ, if you are in Christ, if you've repented and been baptized and received God's grace and his mercy and his love and his forgiveness, and if he took your sins to the cross and you no longer have to pay back the King of the universe for all of eternity for what you did against him and continue to do against him, listen, if you've received that, then you have to do the same thing to other people as you've been forgiven, other people who don't deserve it because you didn't deserve to be forgiven, other people who didn't do anything to make you say, okay, they've kind of paid back the debt enough. It's okay. Because I didn't pay back my debt enough at all. We don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. We were forgiven. We're to forgive. He says, and then he says, it's not a suggestion. So you must forgive. It's a strong imperative. You got to do it. You can't. It's not an option. If you're God's child, you have to forgive them. You think about how the Lord's Prayer ends. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive those who trespass against us. See the debt language, and then how does Luke finish the Lord's Prayer? Anybody remember that? Because I can't remember it word for word in English. If we don't forgive those, our Father won't forgive us. That's a paraphrase, but that's the gist of it, right? That's a scary verse. It's forgive, because you've been forgiven. If you've received infinite grace from your Father, you're supposed to give that grace. So, the pun at the beginning was only a joke. I wanted to say, forgive me, because that's where we were going with this. We're actually done early today, so fried chicken, here we come. Application first. What do we do with this? We're to forgive as God has forgiven us. And if you hear this morning and in your heart, you say, I get that, but I know because of what the Bible says, I haven't received that forgiveness. Then listen, this verse is an invitation to you to receive forgiveness, to repent, be baptized, to give yourself to the Father, not in an attempt to pay back your debt, because you can't. Giving yourself to God and saying, I'm gonna let you be the boss of me, and I'm gonna do my best to obey you the rest of my life, that doesn't pay back anything. It's only what we should be doing anyway. Being baptized isn't a work that saves us, that we somehow make it right with God. It's just us submitting to God and saying, okay, I'll repent in my heart and my mind and with my body. I'll be immersed in water and I'll go through a watery grave and be resurrected with you symbolically. And in my inside, you will make me a brand new person. You'll take the old person out and put a new person in and you'll forgive me and everything I've done. And think about all the people that you haven't forgiven throughout your life. That's sin. That's disobeying your Father. He forgives all of that. He takes the debt off of you. He puts it on his Son. You become his child. And if you've never made that decision, this verse is an incredible invitation to receive God's infinite love and mercy and grace, to repent and be baptized and give yourself to him. And this community, tell someone when you're ready to make that decision. If you are a Christian, what do we do with this? We forgive as we've been forgiven. So who do you need to forgive? I'm guessing that as as we talked about this, there was like a person or two that just kept popping into your mind because you're carrying around a debt. They owe you that. They hurt you. This verse is a call to now, today, as we're singing right now, to just in your mind say, they did that to me, and they don't owe me anything. The most powerful phrase you can say, they don't owe me anything. You know why it's powerful? No, proof of why it's powerful? Because it's really hard to say when you're thinking about that person and what they did, to say in your mind, they don't owe me anything. And then our assignment, we've had an assignment every week for the last couple of weeks. Every time this week, if somebody hurts you, hurts me, it'll happen. I know it'll happen because our loving Father will put opportunities in front of us to put this into practice. So as people hurt us this week, in our minds, we're to close our mental eye, you know, like we have our eyes closed, but probably don't because we're like with people. And so this is what they did. That hurt me. Didn't like it. They shouldn't have done that. And then say the words in your mind, they don't owe me anything. And we put the debt in zero. We rip up the little piece of paper and throw it away. We forgive as our Father's forgiven us. Why don't we stand? We'll pray a prayer of thanks and then we will sing together. God, we come to you this morning and we thank you because you are so good. If anything, this verse was just an incredible reminder of how incredible your forgiveness is. That you take all of our offenses against you and you put them on your Son when we give ourselves to you and we surrender to you, and that is beautiful. We thank you for that. So God, I pray that you would help us to be a people who give the same forgiveness to the people who offend us. And in those moments when we say, yeah, but I can forgive a lot, but I can't forgive that, that you would remind us of all you've forgiven us for. You would give us the grace to show the same forgiveness to them that you've given to us. And that we would be the most gracious people in Lincoln because you've been so gracious to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.